Thank you for your tithes and offerings and helping us here. Boy, it's hot up here. You think it's hot up here? You know? That's been me. I want you to go to Luke chapter 2. Of course, you can read this in several places. There are lots of things I've thought about, and I'm sure you have too. I want to read one verse, and then we're going to talk about the whole thing that we get done here. Till time. The verse I want to read is in the 34th, second chapter, 34th verse. Of course, there's a lot of reading in here, and we'll probably back up and talk about it. But I want to deal with this today. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. And for a sign which shall be spoken against. I want to talk to you about Christmas. I want you to look what it said. I think that's very unusual. It said, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. You ever notice Christmas, how it affects everybody a little different? I was in the store the other day, and that, it bothered me. I know at Christmas we've added a lot of stuff and do a lot of stuff that maybe wears us out and distracts us and everything, you know. But I still love the season, and I love what the message is all about. I was in the store and I don't mean to be critical, but I'm not trying to be judgmental or critical or whatever you want to call it. But the lady in the store was, you know, she was just a worldly lady, kind of flirty like, and she was talking to this guy, and you could just tell. You don't have to be a brain surgeon to figure out. He had his way about him, and they were talking about how they were so glad when Christmas was gone. And they said, you know, said, I hate to see it come, and I'm glad when it's gone. Yeah, that's right. And you know, and I'm not being rude, because I, you know, in a sense, we know what they're talking about in one sense. But in another sense, I thought to both of them as I stood there and looked at them and watched them. And then what they were doing and saying right before they said that, let me know that they really needed to learn what Christmas was all about. Amen. Now, I remember when I was a boy and we didn't, you know, a lot of family, neighbors, relatives around, they didn't go to church much, and Christmas to them was, you know, getting them a big old bottle of booze and getting drunk as a skunk and carrying on. Well, that ain't Christmas. That ain't Christmas. I wonder this morning, what does Christmas mean to you? And I looked at this verse this morning, just a place to start. Simeon, after the Lord been born a while, and they brought him to the temple, and he said, the rise and fall and rising again. I like the way it put that, the fall and the rising again of many. This child is set for the fall and rising again of many. Now here's what we've got to, do you know that people go to church? Listen to me now. Do you know that people go to church nearly all their life? Some people do. And they go through Easter and Christmas and all of what God means in those symbols, and it doesn't affect them in the positive sense at all. That's right. Now, I want to ask you this morning, and I know it's a little distracting, but I, I've been preaching in the funeral homes here lately, and it's pretty distracting there too. But I'm gonna preach to you a little bit this morning. What I would love, those two people in that store that day buying stuff, you know, they all knotting, flirting around and carrying on. They needed a realization of what this season is all about. Where's my church at this morning? You and I need to know what this is all about. You hear what I'm saying? You see, this was not just an ordinary birth. And that's wonderful enough. But this, brother and sister, was the time in the history of mankind where God set aside for, amen, a portion of the Trinity to come down, amen, and feel a little baby's body so that he could grow to a period of time and give his life, and you know all about it. But here, I don't want you just to know about it this morning. I want it to regenerate your very life, your walk, your talk, your future, your hope, your dreams, your aspirations, your eternity. Hallelujah. I don't want to, and you know, I don't want to spend my time and yours preaching the gospel and nobody believe it. The old song, as anybody believes such a thing? How many's ever heard the Statler brothers sing that old song? Who could you say would believe such a thing? That a story was true. I want to tell you right now, this world may look at me like a fool. And I'll have to say, there's times the feeling is mutual. Hallelujah. Yeah. Huh? If you understand what I'm saying. But they may look at me like a dummy and a fool for serving and believing God. But I'm going to tell you something. Praise God, I believe this book from cover to cover. The old King James. I believe it all. Praise God. And I believe... Now, I want to talk to you a little scattered here this morning. It won't take too long. But I want to tell you, amen, this Simeon, this man of God that was in this temple and lived all these years, he looked at that baby. And I love, Brother Dennis, I hope this will work. But I love the way that everywhere this little baby went and the news of this little baby, it changed lives. Amen. And I've really done preached about this. I'm going to cap it off here this morning. Praise God. But I love the way, amen, that when the angel of the Lord, how did it affect Mary? Amen. The salutations that she received. You're going to have a child. She never known a man. She was a good girl. She was saving herself to her wedding day. She had never been married. Somebody say praise the Lord. And she was a just, virtuous, holy girl. And the Holy Ghost came upon her. Amen. The angel of the Lord said, you're going to have a child. And you call it. And she said, how can this thing be? I want to tell you something in this Christmas, amen, season. There's some things in our lives where we don't understand. How is this going to be? It all sounds good. Come on now. You may be here this morning, and I've heard people say it, and I've witnessed the people, and you have too. And I've told them, Brother Tim, I've said, look, God can help you. And they just look at you like, yeah. That's what I hear. That's what they say. But I'm going to tell you something. I know God can help you. Amen. And you may be, and the longer this life goes, Brother Horn, we're going to face heartache. Me and you started out preaching. You're a little bit older than me, I guess. Not a whole lot. But we as a preaching, and I remember when you ran out there at Dad's house, right there over in there, in that old cucumber tree, preaching the gospel. You remember that? Had that old tent down. You remember that? Amen. Pull that old tent down around that spur, right there by that old cucumber tree, and preach the gospel. I want to tell you something. Amen. Christmas ought to affect you in a positive way. It ought to not just be the crowds. Amen. And the hellish things that go on that discourage you. Amen. But you ought to say, hey, amen. The angel said to Mary, the child that you're going to have, amen, is going to be called Jesus, for he shall save. But how can this be? The Holy Ghost is going to move on you, and you're going to conceive of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now let me calm down here just a little bit. How did it affect Mary? She pondered these things in her heart. Oh, man. She went immediately, when the angel left, she went immediately to her cousin's house, Elizabeth. And how did it affect Elizabeth? When she walked up on the porch, and this is what, now I don't have time to read all this. You can read it yourself. You got a Bible. If you don't have one, maybe you'll get one for Christmas. I'm going to tell you, when she walked up on the porch, and we done went through this before, Brother Jeremy mentioned it. I just had preached it that Wednesday at chapel, and you preached it that night. I think we ought to just say something about it again. Amen. And there, Mary, and you know, people talk about abortion, and you know, they'll let them abort children up early on. I don't understand all them trimesters and weeks and all that, but just a few weeks on up, and then few weeks to being delivered. They'll let them abort those children. But you know, when Jesus just had been conceived of the Holy Ghost and was in Mary's womb, she walked upon the porch, and there was such an effect in her womb of the power of the Son of God, amen, that she, the Holy Ghost fell on her and fell in her baby. It was in her womb. Leaped with the Holy Ghost. John the Baptist, hallelujah. How did it affect? How was John affected by the Son of God? Amen. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. From his womb, it drove him into the wilderness to prepare the way of the Lord. It drove him back out into the community to preach the everlasting gospel. I want to tell you something. It's more than just a holiday for me. Brother, it's changed my life. Hallelujah. I don't know if y'all preach or not. All right, thank you. I'm going to go ahead and preach a little bit. Hallelujah. Doug, it's good to see you, buddy. Hallelujah. Made my day. Praise God. I want to tell you, amen, you're here this morning, you come and you hear them old songs, and it always did get me, Henry, when they'd sing Silent Night. I don't know why. I'd always get that feeling. Come on, man. I just get that that feeling that God loved me, and amen, and it was a precious time. I loved it. Amen. And how did it affect Joseph? How did it affect Joseph? Amen. When he realized his wife was with child and they hadn't been together. How did it affect Joseph when, amen, the Bible said Joseph, being a just man, thought to put her away privately, not willing to bring her to shame. Are y'all listening to me? Huh? How's it going to affect you before this Christmas season's over? I said, how's it going to affect you this morning? Amen. As we give out these presents and you see all of our garb and you hear us talk about, amen, the Christmas season. How are you going to let it affect you? Amen. This man set for the rise and the fall. Amen. How's it going to affect you? Is it going to be a rising or a falling? Hallelujah. How did it affect the innkeeper? What effect did this, all this have on the innkeeper? When they come to the door, and you know, a lot of times we preach on this guy. Amen. But what would you? I feel like preaching to you a little bit right now. Amen. You see, he wasn't in the spirit of Christmas. And I'm not jumping on him now. I'm not. Cause it was God's will that Jesus be born in a barn. I mean, Christ, amen, God could have let that baby be born any time of the year he wanted to. He didn't have to wait till it was crowded up there. Are you listening to me? I said he didn't have to wait till it was crowded, but he had an object lesson, amen, and a prophetic lesson that he wanted to give to us. And I want to ask you something this morning, amen, there are people that are destined. Are you listening to me? It looks like folks are turning away the Lord, amen. In a snap. I want to ask you, are you into this Christmas season? Do you realize, amen, who it is at the door needing a place to lodge? Amen. Come on now, church. I want to tell you, amen, it affects a lot of people. We have no room. This old world don't have any room for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They got room for everything else. Got room for their self. Oh, yeah, biggest room in the house is the self room. They got room for all the world they can put in there. And they'll build a room on to put more in there. Huh? This innkeeper said, we don't have any room. How did it affect him? He had to make a decision. It's going to bring you. Christmas is going to bring you to a decision. If you believe it. If you believe it, do you believe that Mary conceived of the Holy Ghost? Do you believe, like Elizabeth believed, that the thing that was in her was the holy thing? I'll help now. Give me a few more minutes. Y'all got your treat, right? So the rest of this is, I mean, you're home free right here. How did it affect those shepherds on the hill? What kind of effect did it have on them? Brother Dennis, God bless your heart. I've been praying for you, buddy. God's called you to preach. You got this evangelizing spirit. But I'll tell you what, Sister Lynn, all the sacrifices you're going to make, if nobody listens and nobody believes, nobody responds, it'll be a sad year. You're awful quiet out there. Now, if you was just a janitor and sweeping the floor and failed at that, no big deal. If you was an electrician and you blowed up a circuit or kicked a breaker, no big deal. But brother, when you're a preacher of the gospel, a minister of the gospel, and you're going to feel like a failure because it's such a eternal thing that we're doing. That's why we're always wondering, can we do any better? Ain't that right? I want to know how these shepherds was affected. I want to know how it's affecting you. I preached, amen, Brother Buck, to your family and your friends and neighbors down there. I asked the Lord to help me. I felt his touch as I was preaching, and I was wondering, how is this preaching going to affect these people? Amen. I hope to the good Lord, amen, that what we're doing here at this church, and I hope the Lord this year will help us get, I want to get a steeple on the church with a big old cross up there, and I want to put two big bright white lights shining right up on it. I want the community to see it as they come around the curve and as they come up the highway. That's what I'm looking for. That's what I want to do. I want them to see, amen, that we're here and what we're here for. Amen. Come on now. Amen. And I'm going to ask myself, how is this affecting them? We came here Friday night, amen, and had probably, I don't know, somebody estimated close to 400 people had gathered in here and in the foyer and out, and some couldn't even get in. Nowhere to park. But when it's all said and done, what'd they leave here with? I left here, I had a new red tie for the season, and I left here with gravy on it. Hallelujah. Is that all some people left with? If that's all they left with, Doug, then I failed. But brother, I'm praying to God, amen, if somebody left with more than gravy on their tie, I hope they left with more than just a full stomach of ham and turkey. I hope they left with the idea that it's Christmas, and Jesus loves them, and he died for them, and they can be saved. How did it affect those shepherds? Bible said they were fearful at first, but then when the angels had gone away, what was the lasting effect of Christmas? What's the effect, Brother Chris? Now I know you prayed and prayed before and raised in church, prayed a whole lot of your life, but brother, that commitment right there, amen, if you give it all to God right there, I'm telling you, there's a better life ahead for you. You listen to me? I want to know what effect when Christmas is over and the angels have gone away and you leave this place, amen, here this morning. I trust my God that you won't just leave with another 10 pound of groceries under each arm, but you'll leave here knowing, amen, that a Savior is born, amen, and God's prophecies come true, and he'll never leave you nor forsake you. How did it affect the shepherds? They said after the angels had gone away, they said to one another, let us go and see this thing. Let us go investigate this. Let us go see about this ourselves. Oh, I wish I was a preacher today. I wish I was a preacher, and I wish you were hungry for preaching. Sweet Lamb of God. Sister Lois, all the miles you run and all the money you spent and all the we've done and all the bright lights and all the plug, all the electricity we're going to spend is in vain if you don't get a hold of God. How did it affect the shepherds? Well, they went and saw the Lord laying in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes, and they rejoiced. And they went and told, how do you think we got the news? You say, well, we read it in our Bible. Who wrote it down? Well, Luke, the physician. I'm going to tell you, this doctor was nowhere in the house when Jesus was born. Y'all ain't listening to me. Well, how did Luke find out about it? Well, just picked up gossip along the way. How did they find out? I'm going to tell you how they found out. Those shepherds told it. Are y'all listening? I said, those shepherds told it. That's how it affected. How's Christmas going to affect you? How about the wise men? How did it affect them? From the east, they saw his star. Have you seen his star? Have you seen his star? Not ordinary star, not the Big Dipper, not the Little Dipper, but his star. Oh, we may have seen Hollywood stars. You may have seen your family star, but have you saw his star? It's different than all the others. There's only one star that's his star. Have you seen it? They were from the east. That's a long way off. You may be here this morning. You say, well, I'm not with you guys. I'm a long way off. But you can still see his star. You can still see his star. And I've told this many times, I guess, but I remember going and knocking on that door and inviting somebody, Brother Ray, to the church, and they just asked me, and they just jumped on me and said, you know, when you preachers get y'all's act together, I may think about coming to church. Well, they just kind of caught me off guard. I wasn't expecting that. And I started to walk on off the porch, and I turned back around, and I said, ma'am, what are you talking about? He said, you know what I'm talking about. Preachers that can't get along, they did. I said, were you talking about me personally? I mean, I wasn't trying to start arguing with her. I showed that nothing. I ain't perfect. And but I want to know, are you talking about, well, I don't know you. I don't know nothing about you, but all preachers are alike. Now, come on. That ain't fair, is it? Huh? Are all church members alike? Huh? And so I just walked back in and I said, man, look. Don't look at me. Don't look at these preachers. What do you think about Jesus? Is that not what we're after? Huh? And I'm going to tell you something. When we see his star, and these wise men saw his star in the east, and here they came. And we did a play here one year on the fourth wise man. Y'all remember that one, I guess? I don't know if I remember it. Good play. And I'm going to tell you something. Have you saw enough in your life to make you want to find him? You know, I got up this morning with holiness on my mind. I wanted to preach holiness so bad today. I mean, just clothesline holiness. That's what was on my mind. That's strange, ain't it? I mean, I just want to come out here and bust everything that I could think of in the Bible. Now, are they still out there? But because it's Christmas, I didn't. And everybody say, praise the Lord. But I just felt the urge to preach holiness today. I really did. And here's why. But I'm going to tell you something. It don't matter how much I preach it. You ain't going to live it till you've seen his star. And I believe in preaching it. I believe you ain't going to make folks do right. But every now and then, if a preacher don't get up, if he don't get up and tell how he believes, people just get to assume how he believes. And then it's going to be one old sloppy, goppy mess for us all over. Somebody say amen. But I'm going to tell you what gets you walking right, talking right, looking right, living right. Is if you see his star and you follow it until you find him. Well, how did all this affect Herod? These wise men went to Herod and said, you know, Brother Dennis, this right here about these wise men. We call them wise men. This tells me the humanness of those men. Because when they, you know where they went? They saw a star, and I've been to Jerusalem. I've been to Bethlehem. And I was disappointed in Bethlehem. It's controlled by the Palestinians. That's where they throwed off the big firecracker, and I just about climbed up a tree. And one old guy said, that's our friendly neighborhood terrorist. Now, I didn't think it was funny, a bit. Not a bit. But that the Palestinians, they were carrying on then. They still are. Bethlehem was disappointing. But I'm going to tell you something. When you're way out in the east and you see a star and you get to follow, sometimes you got to really focus and concentrate. And you know, instead of going to Bethlehem, they went to Jerusalem. Not off much, but you don't have to be off much to miss it. And so they went, they were looking for the king of the Jews, so they went to Jerusalem and they went to the king, Herod. Well, how did it affect Herod? It put murder in his heart. I want to ask you, how's it going to affect you? And it just gets under my skin, Brother Bobby, when people talk about the church and people backslide and get away from God and they want to always look back and pick and find fault and act like there ain't nothing to it. But I want to tell you, you come too late to tell me there ain't nothing to it. Huh? I said, you done come too late to tell me there ain't nothing to it. But I'm going to tell you something. I want to know, how is the gospel affecting you? Is it hardening your heart? Are you resisting it and rejecting it? The Bible said, he that often being reproved and hardeneth their neck shall suddenly be destroyed. But how, I'll tell you, it affected Herod in a bad way. How did it affect his wise men? The Lord warned them. They went down to Bethlehem. They found who they were looking for. Are y'all there? How's it going to affect you? I'm about done. How's this Christmas season? How's all the preaching you've heard? How's all the plays you've seen? How's all the Christmas treats you've had? How's that affect you? I'll never forget it. Brother, to me, kindness is one of the greatest attributes of God that I feel more spiritual, a spiritual touch when I see somebody being kind to somebody. That to me is more godly than anything else I can hardly think about. Y'all may not agree with that, but it always has touched me when I see somebody go out of their way to be kind without looking for anything in payback. When I look at this Christmas season, I want to ask, how has all this affected me? How has it affected you? This man is set for the falling and rising again of many in Israel. Which end of that spectrum are you on? The falling or the rising? Do y'all believe that that silent night was a holy night? Jesus come into the world. He came into the world. Now people's got the wrong attitude, and I'm going to leave this with you. But people have the wrong attitude. They think Jesus came to save them in spite of their sins. That ain't right. He came to take away your sins. Because sin, there ain't no sin going to enter into heaven. So Jesus come to wipe it out and give you power to live a holy life. That's what Christmas is all about. Amen. Are you glad of that? How many's glad of that? How's it going to affect you? Bow your heads with me this morning. Ah, it's just a little scattered Christmas message this morning. I want you to think about it. I want you to think about it. Glory be to God. Whoa, I don't know how much longer we got. Now, I'm not trying to give you an old sad story. I kid around about the birthday, but I'll just be honest with you. I feel great at 50. If the next 50 is this good, I'm going to have a good time at it. I'm going to tell you something. We don't know when we're going to leave this old world. And I want to know how Christmas, have you seen the hope in Christmas? If you've seen the hope in Christmas, I want you to raise your hand. How many have seen the hope in it? How many has experienced the joy in Christmas? I mean the true joy. I'm not talking about just opening up something you wanted for a long time. I'm talking about nothing to do with that. I'm talking about the gifts that God gave you. How does that gift affect you this morning? Father, we ask you to bless this audience and congregation with all our heart. We pray for them. I love them so much, and I know you do. God, I love Christmas. I love this season, that silent, holy night. All is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant, tender and mild. Oh, God, I thank you for Jesus Christ. I thank you for the angels that sang. I thank you, Lord, for the wonderful story. I thank you for the shepherds that told their story. I thank you for the wise men that came. I thank you, Lord, for the instruction you gave Joseph and he fled into Egypt. I thank you, Lord, for our Savior. Most of all, I thank you that he died for me, and not just died, but he rose again. Though we fell into sin, we can rise again in grace because of Jesus Christ. We ask you to bless those that are here. Every head bowed, I want to ask you real quickly, how many would like the church to pray for you this Christmas? You're lost, away from God, and you don't want to die that way. You just like prayer. No one's looking like you. Just slip your hand up quickly and back down. I'll acknowledge that, and we'll put you on the prayer list. The Lord will save you. There's a hand. Thank you very much. How about another? Want prayer? Maybe the Lord will help you be saved before next Christmas. Is there another? Seems like there ought to be three or four more. Is there another hand? So I'd like to have the church. There's a hand. God bless you. We're sure going to do it. Someone else, you'd like to get it fixed, get right before the next season rolls around. You'd like to know what the peace on earth is all about. Any other hands before we go? We're looking. I'm going to pray for you. Want prayer? God bless you. Let's stand. We had 151 today, 1557 in the offering. Amen. Tithing. Amen. How many loves the Lord? How many felt the Lord in this house this morning?